Recording call. Here we go.
There it is.
This is Rambling Nerds.
Oh, that's really awesome.
This is Rambling Nerds, our comedy podcast about nothing at all, really. My name is John Nielsen. I'm joined here by my co-host, Josh Rivas. And today we are going to talk about how nice my new microphone sounds.
What do you think, Josh? It does sound really nice. That's a great... No, you wrote that, didn't you?
I created that music with my own hands.
That's awesome. I just had the best wave of nostalgia hit me right now. I remember like playing all of these DOS games that with music like that.
I think I did pretty good considering I've never done that before. And I got the trial for the program, and within 2 hours I had that song.
That's pretty neat.
And I should say that I don't know anything about making music. I know nothing. I do not know music.
We both dink around on guitars, but we don't really. Yeah, we can't read music.
Essentially what it is it's called FL Studio. And as far as I understand, most of these, what's it called? Digital music workshop programs. They're all more or less the same. You have your timeline. And you have your keyboard there on the side, and you just click and essentially draw where you want your notes to be. Actually, the note tool, I think it's actually a pencil, the note drawing tool. So what I do, since I don't know music, I don't know scales or time signatures or, I don't know, other music words.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put notes places that I think look okay, and then I play it and listen to it, and then I change it to make it until it sounds good. So I essentially fake my way through it.
Well,
but I made that. So, something.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty good. I like it.
It might be a little long to be a theme song, but right. I liked it. I actually made another one, like, the very next day. This was a week ago already. I made another one. It's actually more of a real full-length song. I think it's like 3 minutes.
Mm.
And that one's pretty cool. It's got like an orchestra playing in the background. And I just faked my way through that one too. But I think it sounds good, and that's all that really matters, you know?
It seems like with a lot of artistic pursuits, if you don't know something,
yeah,
it's better to just dive right into it.
I think that's the saying, fake it until you make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with that, pretending that I'm a musician.
I've been sitting there, last week pretending that I was a game designer in the 80s programming in C++. And I made.
Did they have C++ back then?
No.
This is probably just C.
Probably just C.
Actually, even then, I don't know how old C is.
But I essentially tried to make a dungeon crawler, like Zork.
Uh-huh.
And
just like a text adventure, right?
Just a text adventure. And it's very, very, very crude and simple. You know? But it's kind of like the first time you put together a crayon drawing and you're like, look, I made art. It's like, it's a picture. It looks kind of like a person. It was really fun. It was a great learning experience. Thankfully, I retained enough of the programming schooling we had in high school, and I took some in college. But
you were
able to
tap some of your previous knowledge.
Yeah, it's more that, like, design-wise, we learned a lot on how to put a project together. And then how you learn to put those together is really a matter of experience.
Sure.
I looked up a lot of tutorials. I took some pieces of those tutorials and accomplished those goals.
Yeah.
I guess the hardest part was really, like, learning stuff beyond that. There was the object-oriented programming, which we barely touched, but that helped me accomplish it because that helped me write cleaner, faster code.
Yeah. A lot of it is just learning all of the logic behind it, right? Thinking mm-hmm. logically. Mm-hmm. Mapping out all of the steps. Flowcharts.
One of the biggest problems was that the game wouldn't end. Like, I had to tell it
that... Did you program an ending?
I did, but essentially it wouldn't recognize that the enemy that you were supposed to defeat, once it dies, you win the game.
Oh, yeah, is that what you were telling me? How it wouldn't register it being killed correctly?
Right.
That's pretty funny.
So you'd be able to attack it, and you take turns attacking each other, and if it had 0 to -5 hit points left on him, he would die. Anything worse than that, he would still be alive. He would, like, just keep running and keep attacking until you died and you lost.
So that should be easy to fix, right? You just if his health is a value less than 0.
I had it that way before, but it was with a different kind of variable declaration, and that made all the difference.
Sure.
Once I switched it to the way it was supposed to be written, all the numbers crunched correctly, and it's fine. But that's the weird thing about programming, like just one thing, one stray hair can make a huge difference in how your game runs or how your program runs, really.
Yeah, I don't like that sort of troubleshooting, that's the word.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I'm okay with it sometimes, but if that was my job, to be a troubleshooter, like with coding, like I don't think I'd be able to stand it. Because even way back in programming class, that'd drive me crazy. He's like, compile it, run, doesn't run. Trying to figure out where I forgot to put a semicolon or something. Yeah. This is really bad.
It really helps when you burn it into your head that you got to do everything in a modular.
I'm sure it's making everything modular and just practicing.
Mm-hmm. But it was still really like... It was fun to do because I knew that there wasn't any axe dangling above my head, because when we learn programming, our grades depended on how well we
did. I guess.
But when I was just doing it for fun, it was neat to see like why I messed up or what I could potentially do to make it better. And it would spawn a new idea. It's like, oh, maybe I should code it this way instead because this makes more sense. Like before, I had it constantly check, I had a different kind of loop, so it's like, okay, if it's, this much HP left on the enemy.
Was it a while loop?
Yeah. So I just made a cleaner while loop, and I'm like, wait a minute. So, yeah, he could be dead, but he could hit me first, and I'll die, and then the game will keep going because, he isn't. Isn't dead yet. So I said, okay, I have to put another condition. So it's like, the game ends when either I die or he dies.
Yeah.
And then I had to program different endings for it.
Yeah.
And I only realized that was a possibility, like losing was a possibility, and I had to program for it. And so I tried it, and I lost, and just kept going.
It's like, oh.
Kept hitting me, even though I had less than life. It's like,
that's funny.
Now you have 5 life. Now you have negative 20.
You have to code for every possibility.
I'm like, geez, okay, stop beating me up. But he really hated me, that goblin.
Yeah, he's just beating your dead corpse. That's funny. I'm worried about my microphone. I think it's too sensitive.
Yeah?
Because it picks up everything. It is turned all the way down.
Really?
Yeah, when I got it, I turned it all the way down. There's a couple switches on the front, too, and which will manually adjust the gain and stuff like that. So those are turned down. And I can still hear things happening across the house. And picks up all of my breathing and just I keep clicking my mouse, and I'm afraid how loud it's going to be in the recording. And my I'm turning my chair. You can probably hear, like, the back of my chair creaking.
I do hear it a little.
Huh?
I do hear it a little. Maybe you should get one of those filter things, those screens that they put in front of microphones.
Oh, the pop filter. Yeah, I don't know how much that... Because that's for, to prevent you from essentially spitting into the microphone.
Yeah.
For the P, making the P sound.
Yeah.
It, spikes your input on the microphone, and that's to prevent that. I don't know if that'll really, make my clicks sound, not as loud. I don't really know what else to do with it to turn it down even further.
Maybe we should ask, Michelle about that.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just,
She has all of her own home recording equipment. Like,
yeah, she has her own in-house studio, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Just like a room. That'd be pretty cool. A room dedicated to recording. Just soundproof and everything.
That would be awesome. I'd love to have one, but I'd probably never use it.
This is my recording booth.
Yeah, so I just have it.
Not much goes on in here. But... Yeah, no, I really like it, and it definitely sounds a lot better. It just sounds too good. And, well, I don't know, I'll see when I get into the audio file and edit it. But yeah, I might have just made more work for myself by buying this.
Just because you're going to be tinkering around with it.
Yeah, so no, it's not top of the line. But it is very good quality, and I actually got it for cheap. And there are a lot of really good reviews on it, saying that it's comparable to, like, $300 microphones. Like, it is a very good microphone. But cheap. There's also a blinking light on the front that is driving me crazy.
Are you going to put it? You should put tape over it.
I think I will. It's so bright. This is the brightest LED I've ever seen, and it's blinking constantly.
Yeah, it's like the back screen for the iPad. It's like it's unnaturally bright. I felt bad because I took it to this meeting or whatever.
You have an
iPad? My family does.
Okay. Is it
so
cool?
I've
never interacted with one.
I was playing Bastion on.
You were playing Bastion?
Yeah.
That's pretty rad.
And, they were dimming the lights so that they could, you know, show something on the projector. And it was just, like, it illuminated my bench completely, and they all just turned, and I'm like, oh, never mind.
That's funny.
It's pretty bright, and it's pretty neat, the iPad. I could go into a long rant about why it's good, but...
I understand about the iPad that it has a very specific purpose, and people like us is not exactly made for us, because we have our high-end computers and our laptops. It's like, for what reason will we get a big phone? And a big iPhone, but that's not a phone, but it's also a small laptop that's not a laptop.
Yeah, that's one of the things on it where it's like, it's really cool, you can do some really great stuff on it, but when you're out and about with it, you see its use. Because you don't want to pull out your laptop.
Yeah, sure, I can see that. I hate lugging my laptop around, even though that's why I got it, to take it places. I still hate all the cords and everything, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the iPad was, as far as I understand, you know, it's made for people who don't use computers. And it sells really well in that market.
Yeah. I personally like it because it gives me quick access to, like, Kotaku. Like, when I'm out and I don't have my laptop with me, I'll just go over, open up Safari, and...
I'm sure you could even do all of your writing on it and everything, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... It could potentially just be your work computer.
Yeah.
An iPad. That would be really cool. I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
Just have a cheap work iPad, not having to buy a full laptop.
But essentially, it does turn into like having, it does feel like you're just having an oversized smartphone up to a point. Like, there's a point at which you're like, okay, but my iPhone does all, my iPhone does all of this, or like, my Kindle Fire does all of this.
Yeah.
So why is this much more expensive? And that's what it boils down to. But it's a really neat piece of hardware, and the thing that I really like about it is it's incredibly light.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. So this concludes the iPad endorsement iPad section of the podcast. the Mac endorsements.
We haven't.
I've never used the Mac.
There's been a week gap since our last podcast.
Oh, well, Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Thanksgiving. So what have you been playing in the meantime?
I just tapped my desk, and the tap wasn't very loud, but I'm pretty sure the microphone picked it up.
I didn't hear it.
Okay, well, that's good then.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm trying to remain, like, very still.
Don't worry about it.
Video games? I was going to say something about Macs, but now I forgot. I think just that I've never used one, except for an iPhone. I've never even had an iPod. The iPhone that I got last year.
It's your first piece of Mac equipment?
Yeah. The iPhone that I got, I think it was earlier this year, actually. That's the only Apple anything I've ever used. I like it. But anyway, you were asking about video games.
Yeah, what have you been playing?
I guess we can talk about video games. MechWarrior, they just came out with the new mech. And he's got giant guns. He's got the biggest guns. So I bought him, and I would shoot those guns at the other guys and get all the points.
See, now I know exactly how you felt whenever I'd call you, and I'd just be ranting about League of Legends.
I'm not ranting.
No. I know you're not.
You
ranting,
rant.
But you ask me.
I do the opposite of rant, which is heap praise, I guess. That's what I do. I just pile it up.
Yeah.
No, but I still play it occasionally. I'm not that heavy into it. I'll play like a match or two every other day or something like that. But I had to get the new mech. He's cool.
Yeah?
Because he's pretty much exactly what I wanted. I wanted a heavier mech that you could fit a bunch of long-range lasers onto.
Oh.
So that's what I do now.
That sounds right up my alley, actually.
Well, there you go. I can give you some good pointers on how to outfit. Because I know all these things because I'm a giant nerd.
It's really true. He loves all of those.
True, everybody. He loves him some robots. But Planet Side came on Tuesday. Planet Side 2, and I was telling you about it earlier.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that picture for learning curves for MMOs?
There's
WoW and whatever else down at the bottom. It's a steady curve. And then EVE Online is a giant cliff that goes way up high.
Yeah.
And I think there's even like 300 people being kicked off the side of the cliff.
That's funny.
But
that's how I feel with Dota.
Yeah, it's like that with Planet Side 2, where you make your character, and you log into the server, and you're immediately falling from the sky in a drop pod, and you land, you crash at somewhere, and then there's enemies surrounding you, and you get shot. It's like, oh, okay, I'm dead now. So, like, the respawn screen pops up. You can pick your class, what you want to respawn as. And where you want to respawn, like, you can pick all the different points. So it's like, you can spawn at almost anywhere on the map that your territory controls or whatever. So that right there is a hurdle. It's like, what is this screen? I think it's the respawn screen, but there's just so much information on here. But then again, there's not a lot of information. There's a bunch of icons. You don't know what any of the icons mean. And that's that's the whole game, pretty much. Like, what does this icon mean? I'm gonna run toward
it
and then get shot on my way there. I think that was, might have been a Penny Arcade comic, and I think it was for Mag. Was that what it was called?
Yeah.
The very large scale shooter game that came out.
He just gets sniped out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like, this is how you play Mag. You run for 10 minutes and then get shot by someone you didn't see. That perfectly describes Planetside 2.
That's funny. No, I was debating getting it, but, you know, a lot of people... I was debating just playing it for a bit. It's one of those things where it's like, I love games if they are very welcoming within the first couple of minutes.
I know. That's how you are. Like, if a game doesn't grab you within the first 20 minutes, whatever, you lose interest quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a horrible habit. And, you know, John actually bugs me about this. He's like, no, come on, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, but we'll debate about games, and I'll be like, it wasn't really that great. But John actually likes to sit through and play it for a good, you know, 3-4 hours, mull it around a little, and he'll come up with his opinion.
I guess, for the most part, yeah.
I just see it's the things that bug me about a game personally so much in it, I might drop it within, like, half an hour.
Uh-huh. You're less forgiving.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, like, I feel bad because in the past I used to say universally the game was bad because I didn't like it. But, you know, I really looked into it. I'm like, no, maybe it's just me. Because there are a lot of games that I really do enjoy.
Yeah.
And it's because it has a lot of things that I think are great, but a lot of people don't.
I think understanding that something, like, be it a game or whatever, is not designed for you.
Yeah.
That, once you understand that, your mind opens.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I think, kind of what happened with me, where I was sitting there, I'm like, who is this designed for? Because it's not for me.
It's not for me, but that's okay, Josh. But
that's okay.
It is okay. I just saw Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm bad, but that's okay.
That's okay. That's
you went and saw it, right?
I saw it with Emily. That was an amazing movie. I really loved it.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, man.
And I was not disappointed. I was slightly skeptical, the same way I was slightly skeptical about Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Because, especially Scott Pilgrim, is so obviously a video game movie. And I was worried it was going to be pandering. And,
I know exactly.
Fake.
Yes. Emily had the same doubts. I was a little more... I was giving it more of a chance. But
no,
Emily
yeah.
had the doubts about it.
Yeah.
She thought it was going to be okay, but not really, like, amazing. Like, she thought it was going to be great. But
sure.
I thought that they really respected how...
No, yeah. It was very, very good.
Yeah. I especially loved how they didn't... With all the references, they didn't, like, feed it towards you. They're like... They would have these subtle jokes in the background that you barely could notice. You barely notice unless you watch it. That's one of the reasons why I want to get it as soon as it's available. Like,
yeah, because there are plenty of times where they zoom out and show just a ton of characters just walking around.
And I would graffiti,
love,
too.
Yeah, I would love to pause it and be able to look. Because I did recognize a couple of them.
Yeah.
But yeah,
there was one moment where they were about to go on the tram to the next game.
Okay.
And there was graffiti that said Shang Long was here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw the graffiti. I remember that part. I didn't read what it said though. I didn't catch it.
There was Shen Long was here, and then another one was Aerith lives.
Oh, really?
And it's like, I barely caught it.
That's funny. That's pretty good.
I see it, and I'd laugh. Like,
yeah.
That's so rad. And a lot of the other enemies, like, they weren't...
That works on multiple levels, Josh.
Yes.
Because Frodo lives, and... Okay, keep going.
Yeah. See? See? I just thought that it was really neat that if they don't have the actual character, like... that they're referencing from another game in the background, they have one that's similar. So, like, they had the beholder there. It wasn't really a beholder, But it looked enough like it, so you recognize, it's a beholder.
The monster thing. Yeah.
Because the guy in the villain, like, the guy that's obviously Kano, that's not Kano, but it obviously is. Like, it's a cyborg based on Kano.
It was. I thought it was supposed to be him. It wasn't him?
No, he looks a little different. Hmm. Yeah, and they didn't name him as Kano in the credits. It's just Cyborg. It was just Cyborg.
Because I was like, what's with all the Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter characters? But I guess he wasn't technically him. That's kind of funny. I thought for sure it was just that. His name is Kano?
Yeah.
I don't know Mortal Kombat people.
I love how, like, a lot of the actual... They weren't sound-alikes for the video game characters that were...
Who did they get to do Sonic? Was it him?
Yeah. It's the Sonic Generation.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
Or the Sonic Colors and Generation
Sonic. Yeah. Like, I recognized that it was a good Sonic. Like, mm-hmm. it sounded how I expected Sonic to sound, but I didn't know if it was him.
And the Ken. Ken is actually Ken.
From what, though?
From Street Fighter.
From which, just from, like, Street Fighter 4, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a Street Fighter 4 voice, so.
Oh, there's stuff going on in the background.
Yeah.
Now I have to cut all this out.
Sorry.
You are lowering the quality of this podcast, Josh. With your living area.
Sorry, that's not...
Professional standards lost.
I don't have any control over that, so sorry about that. People bickering in the background, I don't really have a story.
Apologize to the fans.
I apologize, guys. But, Wreck-It Ralph was really great.
No, yeah. What were we talking about before that? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. You distracted me.
I brought it up for a reason.
You brought it up?
Oh, what you're saying is, like, I'm bad and that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm saying is, like, you don't like...
We're talking about critiquing games.
Yeah. You don't like games and that's okay, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's... What's interesting, though, is that a lot of these newer games that are coming out, they're getting, like, mixed reviews, but... It's so split in terms of, like, how good it is. Like, for example, Assassin's Creed 3. A lot of reviewers were saying, oh, yeah, this is, like, really good.
Okay.
And then a few others from the same site, like, this is Kotaku and this is GameSpot, they're like, actually, it's worse than 2. And then it starts this whole debate, and a lot of people are saying... that it's more of the same in terms of Assassin's Creed 3, and it's really starting to boil down, okay, what makes, in this next-gen era, what makes a good game? Like, how do we critique a game, especially since we've already seen it all?
Uh-huh.
Like, seen a lot already. Okay. How do we determine what's good and what's not? How do we determine a sandbox game, whether it's too open or not? Like, what is the difference between being too open and not focused?
Sure. But you're saying, like, people within the same site are, like, arguing, essentially?
And I don't know.
That's neat to have both sides. I wonder if they're doing it on purpose. Just to, because conflict. To have conflict.
Well, that was a long time ago. There was a thing with Inch when they found out that,
well, sure.
They gave it, like, really high reviews, but it was a really bad game.
Yeah. Well, and it was different.
And it was because they were sponsored, but I don't think it's that in this case. I think it's just, like, it's starting to get a lot harder.
To review stuff?
Review stuff, because games now have so much in them now. There's so much to do within one console game. Especially in a sandbox game like Assassin's Creed.
Skyrim.
Or Fallout.
Yeah, I'm sure games like that are really hard to review. Especially games where you can do whatever, more or less whatever you want. The game is different for each person.
Yeah.
You know? Every person will play it differently, and how are you supposed to review something like that?
It was sort of like, how I felt when Grand Theft Auto San Andreas came out. Because Vice City was a much smaller map.
Yeah.
And it felt more refined. But San Andreas was, like, really open.
Yeah, it's three cities.
Three cities and the country in between.
And the countryside, yeah.
But I felt like I had a lot more fun, even though Vice City was a more focused game.
Hmm.
I felt San Andreas was more fun to me because of how expansive it was.
Well, and it was also a sequel. It was like an improved game, right?
And that's what they're going to do with there's Grand Theft Auto 5 coming out, and they're saying like it's going to be the same sort of expansion in space. It's going to be bigger than map is going to be bigger than Grand Theft Auto 4.
Isn't it in New York again?
Yeah, it's in Liberty City.
Yeah, Liberty City. All the main numbered Grand Theft Autos are in Liberty City, right? No,
actually not. It's going to be on the West Coast, so it's going to be San Andreas map ish area.
Oh, Grand Theft Auto 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and essentially they're saying it has the same space as Grand Theft Auto 4, Red Dead Redemption, and another game combined. So it's going to be huge.
Red Dead Redemption reached ridiculous sizes.
Yeah. The neat thing about it is that you're playing, in that game you play three different protagonists that you can switch on the fly.
Okay.
The core thing about the gameplay is whenever you take on a mission, it's going to be sort of like, group-based missions where you're all pulling off a heist. And one person's going doing the robbery, one person's covering the both of them with a high-powered rifle from somewhere.
Okay.
And then the third person is waiting in the car. You rob the bank with one character, you cover
so you're like switching back and forth?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That sounds cool.
Job, you control the last character, get in the getaway car, driving them away.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
When you're not on a mission,
can you do that like through multiplayer too?
I don't know.
I'm sure they would.
That would be really awesome.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
When you're not playing in a mission, you can switch in between them too. And the cool thing is, they can be in different points of the world, and you switch in between them. It'll zoom out like Google Maps, move over to the city, and zoom right through the
That's into the net. I like that. When does that come out?
I'm not sure.
When does Skyshot come out? Is this still coming out this year?
Yeah, February. It's not coming out this year.
Oh, February. That makes me sad. But then again, I'm not really... I mean, I'm excited about it, but...
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not... I haven't even been keeping up on it.
Yeah, it's February 26th. I think I really, really, really like all of the videos that have been coming out for Skyshock. But I really look forward to it compared to all the other games that have been, compared to 2. I didn't like.
Sure.
It's just a revisit to Rapture.
Well, yeah, 2 was pretty much just 1 again.
Yeah.
Right? More or less. Well, I mean, obviously it was different. You were a big daddy and stuff, right?
And I felt like
I didn't play it.
Pretty much already. I don't know if this metaphor works, but like they revealed who Oz was already. It's like they
the
already
of Oz?
It's like they already showed you how Rapture is and how it works. There wasn't much left to show me of Rapture. Like all the gamers. Like, oh, you've already, you haven't explored all of Rapture because there was this whole section you never went to. I'm like, yeah, but it's still the same environment.
It's yeah, like, it's what, like, what's the point now?
Are you going to show me more towers underneath water? It's like, I'm sure there are plenty of other stories told, but it felt pretty closed off by the end of the first game.
Yeah, well, actually, a lot of people say that about the first game too. It's like, there's essentially 2 endings. How does, like, the good ending? With Andrew Ryan and everything.
Yeah.
How there's like a twist and the game pretty much wraps up. But then you keep playing. Like the game just keeps going. It doesn't stop. And then that's kind of like where it goes downhill.
It's I don't know.
Oh, that was perfect.
No, it wasn't because when you got rid of Andrew Ryan, that was double cross.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think that's like one of the only complaints against BioShock is the ending was kind of weird, I guess.
The ending kind of jumped the shark a little bit, but if you get the really good ending, I felt like it was worth it.
The good guy ending where you save all the little kids?
That was really heartwarming. I thought that was like the coolest thing.
It shows you putting them through college and stuff like that.
It was really neat. Because when I was playing it, like, actually, I was, right before I beat the game, I was wondering about it. I'm like, well, okay, yeah, I saved these girls. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but they're still in Rapture. Like, am I going to leave them here with all these crazy mutants running around? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what kind of life can they have down here? And then, you know, I got the good ending, and then it showed what happened, and I thought that was really...
I like epilogues.
Yeah.
I love those. Which one? I think it's Final Fantasy VI, where you get like 10 minutes for every single character seeing what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the most extensive epilogue ever. But I like those though. I like those a lot. That's I wish Mass Effect had that. That would have been fantastic. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but that's what I wanted. They sort of did that in Dragon Age. I wanted to know the effect of all my decisions.
I think we touched on it in the first couple casts, but I understand that completely. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the great advantages of playing an RPG that's in depth. You get to see how factions change.
Yeah.
Due to your actions, but I understand completely. Like, when you beat a game, if they're gonna cut you off from playing further, you want to see what happens.
Yeah, I just wanted to see the effects and what the world is like now. That sort of stuff. But yeah, anyway, aside from Mass Effect, which I still think is one of the best games ever, Mass Effect 3.
It's good. I want to pick very up good. The trilogy bundle when it comes out.
Yeah, that looks cool. Or is it out or coming out?
I think it's coming out very soon. But I'm probably going to pick it up on Steam and go through it again from the very beginning and just try to go through it. Because I didn't have the joined experience. Unfortunately, I didn't have the same save game.
I had to make a new save each time, too.
So
the first time is because I had a different Xbox, which I didn't realize. But I guess I played the first one on a different Xbox, and I didn't. So I bought the second one on the Xbox, and I didn't have my saves. Like, well, dang it.
Yeah.
And then the third one I played on the computer. But, yeah. On the computer, though, I was actually able to find a save file and use that.
Oh.
A save file that had all of the decisions and all of the people were alive that I wanted. So
they weren't your decisions.
Yeah, so... Well, they might as well have been, because I chose the choices that I made in the second game, because I played the second game, and I knew.
So, is it okay to steal someone's
memories? It's not real, though. No, I took someone else's memories.
Yeah.
And made them my own.
Yeah. Is it okay for you to experience that happiness if they're not your memories, John? Can you steal someone else's sandwich if it had the same exact toppings as your sandwich?
Yeah, the same contents and everything. They're physically the same sandwich.
But it's not yours. That's funny. Mm. Oh, man.
Did we find any questions? Did you find one?
I found one, which is interesting.
Let's do it.
If you were a Star Trek character, who would you be?
Captain Picard?
You pick Captain Picard?
I don't know.
I'd be Geordi any day of the week.
He'd be Geordi? Now, explain Geordi. Why is that, Josh?
Because he always seems to be in the crux of, like, all the action. Like, he's pretty much what holds the physics of the ship together.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, Picard is the morale. And
I guess you could say that in some ways, Geordi is the most responsible for keeping everyone alive.
Yeah. And it was him that comes up with, like, I gotta do this, and then that'll save everything. And
I guess.
He has to pull it, you know. He's really good at improvising, and I just think that he has a lot of great moments in the series. That's me personally. I'd love to be Geordi LaForge.
I've thought about it a bit, but in the context of what I actually want to be on a starship, like, you know, everyone wonders is like, I want to be in Star Trek, or I want to be in Star Wars, you know. But Star Trek, the Federation is a military, and those ships are military ships. And I'm asking myself if I want to join the space military.
That's exactly why I'm an engineer.
I'm not so sure that I do. Like, would I really want to be an officer, like a captain? I don't know about that.
I don't know. It's pretty cool. It's like thinking about how in that universe, it is the military, but it's also sort of like they're diplomats as well.
Sure.
And that's what's awesome about it. They're not just going out there and they're not conquering planets or anything. They're out there, you know,
doing stuff, exploring and whatnot.
Rescuing people and also solving engineering problems and cataloging the universe.
Yeah, so maybe I wouldn't be on one of those Federation, I keep saying, military really is the best word, because that's what it is. It's a military ship. I'd probably be on, like, my own ship doing stuff.
Oh, you know? Yeah. It's like if you were, you'd be a smuggler if you were in the Star Wars universe.
No, because smuggling is illegal, Josh.
I'd be a smuggler.
I'd totally smuggle. I'd smuggle all the things.
I smuggle all the things.
Oh, yeah.
You want red sugar? Red sugar is illegal on this quadrant, but I can get you some. No, it's... I just really like... I really like the fact that in Star Trek, everyone seems to have their way of contributing.
Sure.
Like, even when even some of the minor characters that are just, they're just not even officers. Like, they'll come in every once in a while and do stuff in, like, in a helpful, meaningful way.
Sure.
I love how it's it affects everybody. That's kind of the horror of being in deep space on one ship. Uh-huh. When the ship is in trouble, everyone's in trouble.
Yeah. Everyone's gonna blow up.
Whether or not they have any decision-making powers or not. So. That was good. Yeah, I like that.
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
I like Star Trek.
You're right. You have Caesar that transforms into the newer one.
Well, no. It's just the old phaser from the original series.
Oh, really?
I think the batteries died.
Aw, that's a shame.
I used to have the next... Oh, I might still have the next generation phaser.
Yeah.
I still have the next generation tricorder. It's broken.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's broken, but I have it from, like, 20 years ago.
See, I watched a lot of Star Trek, but mostly Next Gen.
Yeah.
And my brother has watched, you know, each of the series, and he'll just come up with random stuff. He mentioned to me yesterday, like, we were drinking root beer, and he's like, oh, look, it's the Ferengi's favorite Earth drink. I'm like, when did that, what was that ever
That's
stated?
Funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah, see?
Now, your microphone, are you, like, slamming your desk? I think, because you talk with your hands, and I think you're slapping your lap or something.
I might be.
Like, what's going on over there? You drumming.
Yep.
Well, that brings me back to my music creating. How I don't know anything about making music, but I actually, from playing Rock Band, I actually understand how drums work. Mm-hmm. You know? Because it's a perfect translation, pretty much.
Yeah.
From drums in real life and drums in Rock Band. Pretty close.
Yeah.
So I actually understand how to make a drum line and, like, a drum rhythm and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite part
in
FL Studio, is making the drum background. Because I actually understand how they work for the most part.
Yeah. Emily and I picked up a new card game.
Mm.
It's not really new. It's been around for a bit. But have you ever heard of Gloom?
What's it called?
Gloom.
Gloom, like the Pokemon?
Yeah.
Okay, what about it? What is it?
It's a card game where it's for 2 to 4 players. Each player controls a family, and the goal is to make them as miserable as possible before you kill them off so that they can have a happy afterlife.
Okay.
And the game is played out where you control 5 character cards, and they're just out in front of you. Every turn, you get to play 2 cards from your hand. The cards that you can play are modifiers for your characters. They represent horrible events that happen in their lives, and you read off the card and build a narrative for each one of those characters.
Okay.
So you've got, like, Uncle Boris, for example. It's like, Uncle Boris, you know, you start your turn, like, here's Uncle Boris. Like, today, Uncle Boris woke up, and unfortunately, he was mauled by a bear. And then you put down the card, mauled by a bear. It puts -2 points on him. And then...
So are you trying to ruin their lives? Is that the point?
Trying to ruin their lives. And there are other cards in the deck that are positive things that happen that you put on your opponent's characters to make them have a happy life. Because if they die and they're happy, they just die.
Okay.
The cool thing about it is all the cards are transparent, except for the art in the center. And
what do you mean? Like, you're holding a piece of plastic?
It's thick plastic, yeah.
That you can see through?
See through. And so you're stacking modifiers on your characters, but only the things that are visible are what count. So okay. If you put a positive counter...
Oh, so like it'll, like, cover up?
Yeah.
Huh.
And then that's how you can really mess with players. Like, you can put positive counters on their characters, and then on another turn, you can play a card that's called, like, a grim ending or something like that, where it kills off that character. Some of them have modifiers on them that say, okay, if they were killed in this certain manner, like, if they were killed by animals, it's even worse off.
Mm.
The game ends when one family dies completely, and everybody counts off how many points among the dead family members they have collectively. The person with the least, like, that has the greater negative value wins. And it's really fast, it's really fun, and it ends up painting these hilarious scenarios that are completely random. It's a lot.
Why are you ruining these people's lives?
No,
I don't understand.
No, all of them, it's super grim. It's like if Tim Burton wrote a card game, because all of them are evil or weird in some way. So it's like they kind of, I don't know, it's really weird. One of them is like a circus family, one of them is like a rich, snobby family, and they all have their own little tiny backstories. But it's really fun to play, and there are apparently a bunch of other expansions for it. Like there's Cthulhu Gloom, and... there's, like, Sci-Fi Gloom or something like that, and it's really weird. They've got a bunch of different ones. Kind of like how Munchkin, they have a lot of expansions.
Sure.
So I picked that up, right before Thanksgiving. We started playing it. It was, I want to say it was around $20. And, yeah, it's a really fun game. I wanted to take over Ravenloft sometime so we could play it. Because I figured out what we were doing wrong.
What do you mean?
We were making the game much more difficult than it was supposed to be.
How so?
Before, we were activating monsters on every single person's turn. Like, the same monsters got a turn after everybody was done.
Okay.
You only activate the ones that were drawn by that player. So, for example, if we were playing and you drew the gargoyle and I drew the goblin, on my turn, the goblin would get a turn. And on your turn, the gargoyle would have a turn.
So, the way you were doing it, every single monster attacked? Every turn?
Yes. So, we were like, it was hard mode. We were like, how is anyone supposed to win? And we nearly...
That's funny.
But it was still kind of hard.
Yeah.
And then once we read through the rules again, we really like sat down like, oh man, this is how we've been doing it wrong each time.
That's fine.
So we played it a couple times more, and we played one where we were supposed to go and fight a Dracolich. Like, it's a giant undead dragon.
I see.
We got to the end, we got to the point where we were like, okay, we've already drawn 8 tiles. It's like, the next one is either going to be the lab where we can really weaken the dragon, or the dragon itself. It's like, so it was my turn before the draw, and I was like, okay, guys, I might as well just tank this one. Like, all right, I guess we'll go in. And lo and behold, it was the dragon. So he immediately activated. He came out, threw out his dragon breath, bloodied everyone, attacked me, like I went unconscious, and then it was someone else's turn. And then I was reading his enemy card, and it says the Dracolich activates during everybody's villain phase.
So that monster does attack every turn.
Yes. So we were we ended up dying like right before dinner. It was Thanksgiving. Like we ended up right before dinner. He would stomp the out of us.
That's pretty good though. It's a good party game.
It is. It's a great party game.
Good.
That's good. The best thing about it is because it's completely randomized, you can play the same mission over and over and over. And
sure, yeah.
Happen.
Well, we talked about Ravenloft for like an hour last time, so.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. We've confirmed on like three occasions that it is indeed a good game.
I really want to play the Dungeon Man game.
What's that?
Essentially, that's more of like it's a cross between a card game and a miniatures game, but it's set in the D&D universe. And apparently you can buy, like, I think you buy booster packs for it or something.
Okay.
And if you're pitting your team against someone else's. So if you can picture a D&D Warhammer.
That's okay. Okay. That sounds neat.
I really wanted to pick it up and try it, but it sounds like it would be a lot of money.
Okay. A high entry point, entry cost.
Yeah.
I always wanted to try I think it's the WoW trading card game, because your deck is your character, right?
Yeah.
And that just sounds amazing to me. It just sounds so cool to have to construct your character and then fight other characters or go through a dungeon.
I actually still have my Paladin deck.
Yeah, you played it for a bit, didn't you?
It's hard.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like, if you know how to build your character, going against other people, it's not even fair.
Because
I played against the Hunter, and I tried to out-tank him, and he just demolished me.
Well, I think, yeah, I heard that it is one of those, like, yeah, the people who really invest and, like, really know what they're doing will always beat the people who just play it for fun.
Although I really want to play, I like the raid decks. I like the concept of having a raid.
Yeah. Those are supposed to be really fun too.
I've always wanted to play that.
I don't know, maybe we can find like a raid starter deck or some kind of starter kit where we can all get our own characters and play through a raid or something. I don't know.
I think that's
always been something I was interested in.
I also wanted to pick up an archenemy deck for Magic. Because I played
Archenemy. That's a similar idea, right?
Where it's 3-on-1, and that one
is
player
crazy powerful.
It's to play broken environment cards.
Yeah. Well, actually, isn't what is it? Commander, where you essentially you're playing a character essentially. Is it Commander?
In a manner of speaking, but it's more like you can continually play that card, and you have to build your deck.
Sure, it's not the same, but.
But it is similar. And that's another format that I wish was in the new Magic game. I picked up the new Magic game and it has Archenemy and Planeshift.
Okay.
We talked about Planeshift before, didn't we, in the last podcast?
I think so. Or we've talked about it before, at least.
Archenemy is a great format for that game specifically, because it's really quick and the rules are ironclad, because when you play it in person, it kind of gets really complicated with three players going at it and one's abilities.
Yeah.
But game format, everything is all super clean and the rules are the rules.
Well, that's cool.
So.
I was going to say something. You brought up Magic and I was going to say something.
I interrupted you again.
That happens a lot. And now it's gone forever.
Well, I think we've been at this for a while. We're clocking in at almost an hour, so.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
Try and remember what I was going to say.
And, yeah, I guess we'll do this again next week, hopefully.
Probably wasn't important.
See, you don't remember, therefore it wasn't important at all.
Supposedly, either that or it was the best thing ever. You're like slamming your desk again.
Slam right there. I did that for effect.
You wave your arms when you talk, and then in this case, there's a desk in the way.
I was pretending that I was James J. Jameson.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Eh.
Bye then.
I guess.